This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
What's up, Trump?
The Rich Eisen Show.
Bill O'Brien and a reporter.
Come in here with these down questions. This is a program that we're building. The sun is up and we're fighting. That's my message to the fans. What's up, Trump?
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, Iowa head coach Kirk Ferentz. Former NFL executive Joe Banner. Still to come, actor Brett Gelman. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Stranger Things, you may have heard of it on Netflix. Been around for almost 10 years, but its fifth and final season is going to be coming down the pike your way. And Brett Gelman, who's on this program, you might have remember him if you're a diehard fan of a show like Fleabag, which won the Emmy Award years ago. He was the Pig Parker in Curb Your Enthusiasm if you're a fan of the movie The Other Guys with Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg. He plays Christina's husband, Hal.
Christineth.
And if you get, if you come into their home, you better get his wife's name right. Yeah. I mean, one of the best scenes that's out there. It pops in my algorithm every now and then.
So good.
He's coming up in about 20 minutes time. A Highland Park High School grad in Illinois. So he'll be joining us. He's back on the show. It's his second time appearing here. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial, whether you're listening to us on ESPN Radio by Progressive Insurance or watching us on the Disney Plus or ESPN app. We say hello to our podcast listeners, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show for those who might miss anything. It's a way to catch up on all. Let's take a phone call before we hear from Sauce Gardner. Then we got a higher register Thursday. And then we got Brett Gelman. I'm just showing you what's under the hood, how the sausage gets made. You know.
Thank you.
Gio in South Jersey wants to chime in here. What's up, Gio?
What up, buddy? How you doing, man?
What up, buddy? I like it. What's
How
going on?
Doing?
I'm doing
hey,
well.
Rich, long time, man.
Okay, cool.
First time caller.
Awesome. We're in South Jersey. Give me the name of the spot in South Jersey. What do you got?
I am in Delran, New Jersey.
Okay, very good. Good to chat with you.
Right. I'm like 10 minutes from the stadium.
Okay. And the stadium is the home of the Philadelphia Eagles, is what you're saying.
Absolutely, my guy.
Okay. Okay. Now, what's up?
I just first and foremost, man, you are the GOAT of sports broadcast.
Thank you, sir.
I enjoy you and your team. You guys are spectacular.
I appreciate you saying that. We appreciate that. All right, now that we're all buttered up, like, what do you got for us?
Go ahead.
No, we're all buttered up. What do you got for us?
Listen, real quick. So, in all my 45 years of sports, like I said, you guys kick ass, man. I love listening to the show.
Thanks, pal.
Why is it that when, you know, this whole tush-push situation, I know how you feel about it. I've been listening.
Okay.
How come nobody talks about this when Josh Allen's consistently padding his stats, getting carried in by Dawkins, you know? J.J. Brown makes a tweet. Max Crosby makes a tweet. Nobody makes a big deal about Max, but everybody's talking about A.J., you know, what's your take on that?
Well, listen, the Eagles are the best at it. And I'm noticing other teams. Now, obviously, Josh Allen is big enough, and it's exactly what can be repeated is when you have a quarterback that big and he gets pushed, just like Jalen Hurts, it's effective. But I am seeing other teams do it with their tight ends. I think Mark Andrews is the designated tush pusher. Right.
Yeah.
For the Baltimore Ravens. And I am wondering, while it is still legal, why other teams don't do it. But I left this out of my reasoning for putting the Eagles atop my power rankings yesterday, even though they didn't play a game last week, is they are the best at the most unstoppable and most difficult to officiate plays. The tush push places equal amounts of pressure on the defense and the officiating crew to get it right.
And I absolutely agree with you. 100%.
It marvels me when I see other teams in the National Football League attempt to get that 1 foot from a shotgun position, you know, or in college football exactly. too. It's just like, don't you see what they're doing in Philadelphia? And you could do the same damn thing with your tight end if your quarterback doesn't have enough sand in the pants to pull it off on his own, you know?
Absolutely. And my only problem with this is I personally think Jalen Hurts, as we know, he's a specimen, man. Yeah. He doesn't actually get pushed. I mean, Josh
Gio,
I know, the Gio, hands are there, Gio, but nobody's really pushing. Jalen's a beast.
Gio, listen, I'm as a big Jalen Hurts fan as you can find. We talked about his journey over and over and over again. Prior to his drafting, he was one of the quarterbacks I insisted on getting on this program when he wasn't at the top of a lot of draft charts. I love the guy. He's getting pushed, okay? He's getting pushed, and it's Saquon. Right. I mean, it's Quadzilla pushing another Quadzilla, you know? It's just like it's
one and only,
it's
man.
Like Octozilla, right. You know what I mean? It's
right.
Yeah.
I just want to, I know you know you got time. I get it all baffled because I want a million things to say, but I really appreciate you guys.
Thanks,
I love
pal.
Listening to you guys. Drake May, by the way, DJ, MVP, man. Josh Allen's overrated. I'm sorry.
All right.
Drake May, what this kid's doing with this team, amazing.
Gio in South Jersey showing up, showing big. Well done, Gio. My guy. I got a my guy. And what else do we get? Bro? Well, got a bro and a my guy? I like it.
Hey, buddy. Buddy.
Hey, buddy.
Well, I don't know. While it's still legal, if I had the ability, I'm like, let's get a tight end. If a quarterback can't do it, let's do it ourselves. Why aren't we doing it? It's just like NFL teams that try to get that first down by putting in a fullback and trying to run with a back that's coming out of the I formation. Like,
what year is it?
Exactly.
Yeah. Also, there's only about 12 more weeks of this.
Yeah, no, right?
So you better do it now.
I think it's going to be gone. I think it's going to be gone, too. 844-204-RICH number at all. Speaking of gone, Sauce Gardner's now gone.
He gone.
He has spoken in Indianapolis, cleared to play from concussion protocol, mm-hmm. which I imagine now makes you cleared to stand at a microphone in your new digs to explain from your end why things happened. There's a couple of sound bites here. This was him talking about how he got the call from the Jets general manager, Darren Mooji, the same guy who's like, hey, here's the contract we agreed to in July. Hey, you want to sign that four-year, $120 million contract? Yeah.
I actually was laying in the bed with my girl, and I was just chilling. I just got a call from Mooji, the GM for the Jets. And, you know, obviously the trade deadline was coming up, so I was just like, please let it be like my ideal situation. Like, I don't want to go to a losing team. I don't want to go to a team that's like on the other side of the world. So it's like, I was able to come when he told me to coach, like, you know, obviously I got drafted there and everything like that, but you know, I want to win and things like that. So it was like, this was a great situation. Obviously knowing few guys on the team already, being closer to home, being closer to where I went to college, like, you know, God just keep blessing me in many ways. So, you know, it's truly a blessing to be here. And my favorite color, blue. So, you know, it just worked out perfectly.
So he's from Detroit, in case you're wondering, and he played college ball in Cincinnati, where Alec Pierce, one of the receivers, yep. that they were on that team that really crushed it a few years ago. Mm-hmm. So that's who I believe he's referring to in the location. It's interesting because they didn't want to be sent to the other side of the world. He's just been sent to a team that's about to go to the other side of the world and play his first football game. It's interesting. But he'll take it because they're 7-2 and they're not 1-7. He was asked if he had asked for a trade.
No, I've never asked for a trade. I don't think that's something that I will ever do, you know. Because it's a blessing to just be able to play on Sundays, you know, at the end of the day. So, you know, that's what make it even much more beautiful, you know, going through those tough times, those rough times and things like that. And then, you know, things could change in a matter of a night.
So here's just, again, my question I have for all of this. I'm very happy for him. He's gone to a spot where he can win football games, where he hasn't. And he was supposed to be one of those kids, just like Garrett Wilson, to come out of a very successful college experience to bring that to the Jets and have things turn around. And we all know it didn't work out. If he didn't ask to be traded, then why would he be not shocked to see the general manager call him? And why would the Colts just kick the tires on Sauce Gardner? I guess you miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
Yeah, true.
Chris Ballard just saying, hey, well, you know, you're 1-7.
Hey, what do you think about Sauce?
Yeah. What do you think about him?
Any chance there?
Right. And sure enough, the Jets, as we've established earlier with the soundbite we played from Darren Mooji talking about how while they were coming up with the contract, that they put in there certain language that made the contract tradable. And then I think of the moment where somebody tweeted at or Instagrammed at T. Higgins to say when he was in a contract dispute, why don't you come to the Jets, and Sauce, or told Sauce, why don't you ask T. Higgins to come to the Jets? And he basically said, well, why would he want to come here? Why would I ask him to do that?
Nah, dog.
And then, you know, I got the sense, again, for that London game, that the Jets weren't falling all over themselves to make Sauce Gardner available to talk to us in the broadcast meeting beforehand. And it's kind of like that, you know, Few Good Men moment. Like, if nobody ordered the code red and, you know, orders need to be followed,
and he was told not to be touched,
then why was Santiago touched? And why was he
needed to be transferred?
Needed to be transferred off the base. And if somebody who is being not being, you know, supposedly hazed, why didn't he pack a thing? You know what I mean? Like, just something just is up. And if there's something up, then you can get 2-1s for him. Then he's happier. You're happier. I can't believe that this guy. I pounded the table for him. Like, this is the guy we got to get. This is the guy you got to get. This is the guy who's going to help you change everything. Certainly for your new head coach who's got, you know, like the defensive pedigree. Give him that lockdown guy. And they do it. And he's gone to the spot where he worked out at the combine. Unbelievable. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. It's a Thursday, which means it's our, I believe, popular staple where you got to go higher register in order to believe what you have to say. It's time for a Week 10 edition of Higher Register.
There's a chance.
The Rich Eisen shows.
That there could be.
Higher Register. Take of the week.
All right, Chris, you got something for Week 10 that can give people a little bit of food for thought that you got to go higher register in order to believe, please?
Yeah, I got something for Week 10. Okay, so this team is a team we talk about a lot. They had the number one pick in the draft 2 years ago. They've won 5 out of 6, and the Bears are looking like they got something. Caleb Williams had 3 tutties last week. He was QB1 in fantasy, and, you know, I watch him play now and how he's progressing in this Ben Johnson offense, and I'm like, oh, okay, Caleb, maybe you're starting to figure it out. You know, I think you're figuring this thing out, the old quarterback situation. I mean, you could be one of the best players in the league.
I mean, he's catching passes.
What can he do?
I don't know. And if the defense can keep taking it away, too. I mean, it's a team thing. I understand Caleb's feeling it. You know, the Bears could go places.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, they're in the mix to win this division.
I hear you.
Yeah.
I hear you. Oof. All right, Caleb's figuring it out. TJ?
I never want to do this. Here we go. Fellas, the last game of this week is Monday, right?
It is indeed.
And that's the Eagles versus the Packers.
Yes, okay. Indeed.
I find that a little bit ironic because at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, one of these teams going to be the last NFC team standing.
Oh. So you're saying this is for the right to maybe host an NFC championship game against the other? Is that what you're saying?
I think it could be, and I think when it's all said and done, one of these teams, unfortunately, is going to the big dance.
Do you want to take your shot as to who wins it?
Well, I picked the Packers to start the season, so I'm going to have to.
Okay.
And anything to keep the Eagles out of the Super Bowl again.
All right. So you think that this is for all the NFC marbles?
All the Tostitos, baby.
Oh, yeah.
All right, I'm going to go in the opposite direction.
Okay.
Listen, I didn't come to work on Tuesday thinking, you know what the Jets are going to do today? They're going to tear down this defense. They're going to take their youngest, best players on defense, and they're going to trade them away, and they're going to tear this thing down.
Why would you think that?
See you.
I didn't think there would be a fire sale like that. Certainly didn't think after we talked about Sauce Gardner that an hour later, Chris Brockman in the middle of a segment would just go, whoa!
Hey!
And that was Quinnen Williams getting traded.
I was genuinely stunned by that.
I don't blame you for that reaction.
I hate this team.
And everybody thinks Jets are just done, right? But I'm thinking Aaron Glenn is you're on the boat with him or you are not on the boat with him.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of prideful men there who are going to take this personally. And you take a look at the Jets' remaining schedule. The New York Jets' remaining schedule against Cleveland this very week. Coach giving up play calling duties. Dylan Gabriel's coming into town. I understand all of that. Then you look at some other games, their home games against Atlanta, against Miami. At New Orleans, you know that's a spot where once upon a time Aaron Glenn coached. You got some division games. You throw game records out. Two against New England as well. My higher register is, I think the Jets are going to win more games the rest of the way than a lot of people think. I'm just saying. There's some prideful guys that are playing for jobs. Aaron Glenn is putting his stamp on things. And if Sauce wanted out and they obliged him and they basically look in the locker room and say, we just did it to Sauce. You like living in the New York metropolitan area? Mm-hmm. Well, you better show up and show out because roster spots are being given out for next season. I think they might win more games than you think. That's my higher register.
Hey, A.D. Mitchell, that's a good acquisition.
Hey, that's a guy. I mean, honestly, take a look at who they have in that receiver room.
All three of you guys did a good job.
You just went higher register. That's
messed up.
You said, I don't want to ever do this, and you just did it without knowing.
Dang.
Son of a biscuit.
Mike, I'm glad you're here today.
Thank you. We'll be here tomorrow.
Well, that's a surprise. I'm surprised by that.
No, you guys killed that one.
I can't believe that.
You guys all killed that. That was usually one of you's not. Oh, like,
I'll stand up.
You know what?
I'll stand up.
I can't wait to return the favor. You know, normally, you know, you.
I do a good job.
Yeah, you normally. No, you don't. I'll reverse it. Oh, no, you did, a better job than I thought you right there.
Richard, that's my dog.
That's my dog.
You just did better than I thought.
Wow.
This guy, like there's no mirror. Like
please,
there's
right?
he's living in a non-glass house
over
there.
I don't play game shows.
Okay.
That we know.
Wow.
Well,
hey, you did. You did Family Feud, which is why I showed up on Celebrity Wheel of Fortune saying I am not going down in back-to-back game show appearances.
You're
not by a long shot.
While we're on the game show tip right now, I got an email.
Uh-oh.
And it was an email to become a contestant on Pop Culture Jeopardy.
You?
Well.
Just got it?
Well, not just me. It's for a team.
For all of us?
It's for whoever I decide I want on a team. You have to have three players.
Okay.
Wow.
So it just came up, and I was like,
don't pick me, TJ. I'll watch it on TV.
I don't know, Mike. You have the music knowledge, and I've been watching Pop Culture.
I will just come out and say this, sir. Yeah. Obviously, I believe I am well qualified for this thing. Mm-hmm. If you choose Del Tufo, I'm not coming.
No, it should be.
I am not going to put my game show reputation on the line by passing a baton to that guy ever again.
But it can go home. If it's a music category,
that's a problem.
Mike's got it. Now, okay. If it's antiques or something, then it's a problem.
I'm telling you not
this
to
has nothing to do about how I'm going high
bitch,
register
Rich.
The other day.
You do just not have to say that. I do never want to play a game show again.
Good. Wow. We're all on the same page. Great.
I'm one and done.
Let's get Brett Gelman out from our green room. We talk
funny.
Stranger Things and so much more. Brett Gelman when we come back.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good. like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
As you know, managing maintenance, repair, and operations is never easy. But for the ones who always rise to the challenge, Grainger has your back. From professional-grade products you can count on to fast, dependable delivery, they're there to help you keep things running smoothly. Plus, their technical product specialists are here to help answer your toughest questions. And because Grainger knows safety is always a priority, they're committed to being your partner in protecting both your people and your facilities. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
Roman is here on the Rich Eisen Show. Our radio audience just returned. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. We just saw a trailer for the final season, fifth and final season of Stranger Things that premieres later this month in a three different breakdowns. Volume one is November 26th at 8 Eastern, and then Christmas is when the final three episodes are airing, and then the finale itself, the final episode, is at 8 Eastern time on New Year's Eve, and Brett Gelman, who plays Maury Baumann, is here. You know, I looked it up because it's just, in this day and age, it's not 5 years for each season. This debuted in the middle of the summer of 2016. This has been around for almost a decade,
man. No, it's 8 years of my life.
Right.
10 years of mostly existence. Everybody else's.
Right, yeah, exactly, right?
It's crazy.
Did you, how was this presented to you? There's a script, there's a character, there's a role. Like, what was it like when Stranger Things first wound up on your doorstep?
I remember I was shooting a film, Lemon, that I co-wrote with Janixa Bravo, and then that I starred in.
Mm-hmm.
And we were filming that. And then Martin Starr, who was in the, he was like, you got to check out. I remember seeing billboards.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, what's that? And then Martin Starr was like, there's this show, Stranger Things. It's on Netflix. It's amazing. It's mm-hmm. insane. It's incredible. And then I watched it that weekend and I binged it. I was like, it blew my mind. And I called my agent and I was like, I have to
You sought it out, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and at that time it was like, I still wasn't in the place of what season two of Fleabag and Stranger Things put me in,
right,
you know,
sure.
It put me put me a little bit up the ladder. So then, that was just my agent, calling the casting director, hey, can you bring in Brett Gelman to read for this?
Mm-hmm.
And he got me the audition, and, I auditioned, and I remember walking in there, and it was a murky, little scene. It didn't present any information. It was, I think they said he's a conspiracy theorist.
Okay.
That was it.
Which tracks.
Yeah. And so it was it was sort of a monologue scene and it seemed like he was paranoid. And
was it something that actually wound up in an episode?
No.
Okay.
So no.
Okay.
And I don't even remember exactly what it was, but it was never in an episode.
All right.
And then I did it. And I remember being in the waiting room and seeing this guy who was this actor who was really into it with a hoodie up, over his head. And I was like, oh, that guy's going to get it. That guy, because he's a great actor. I knew him. I was like, okay. I know him. He's a great, he's going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I walked in, I did my thing, and then I got it. Mm. And I don't think he was supposed to become what he was, but... So I'm,
you mean your character is what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah. I don't think he was supposed to continue on in the way that I have.
Right.
And, Brothers.
That's about to say, when you put yourself in the hands of some top notch producers and writers with vision and they know where something can go, then obviously your character can go in a different direction than the one that you're trying out for, you know?
Yeah. 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 Cool, I remember that. When I met Matt and Ross, I was like, he's like, you're Richard Dreyfuss, right? In Jaws.
Go Close Encounters.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, because it's
sort of that too.
Well,
yeah.
And we all know the Spielberg influence behind the show, and how famously Spielberg wrote the brothers who have created this thing, like, hey, I see what you're doing. I see how you're tipping a cap to E.T. and things like that, where I guess what he commented that the nighttime scenes were more blue in the sky than dark.
Yeah.
Just like what he used to do back in the day for these types
They bring that in they have their own take on.
Right.
But are certainly incredibly influenced by him, mm-hmm. by John Carpenter, by James Cameron, by Robert Zemeckis, these types of filmmakers. And Stephen King, and I sort of was like, oh, he's kind of like, he's Richard Dredd, but he's also a little Gene Wilder, he's a little John Candy, and mm-hmm. it started to feel like as it went on, it felt great. I remember in season three, I was like, so what's the inspo with my storyline in this season? They're like, I don't know, like Spies Like Us.
Doctor.
It did feel a little bit like that when David and I would be like in the golf cart going through the base. and I was like, and it was cool because it was like some of my, my biggest influences, are the SNL movie stars SNL adjacent movie stars of the 80s. So it was like, oh, well, that's what I can bring to it. In my influence too is Aykroyd, Chevy, Bill Murray, John Candy, Steve Martin, these people.
I love it. Brett Gelman here on the Rich Eisen Show. So obviously I'm not going to ask you to reveal anything. And you did say while we were watching the trailer that everybody's minds are going to be blown by the fifth and final season. So what is the strangest thing of Stranger Things that you've ever done? What is the strangest thing?
Of past seasons, the strangest. Sure. It had to be that karate fight mm-hmm. was just like, it was something that I never thought that, I not that I would ever be required to do because, I got big dreams and big aspirations always. Got to shoot for the moon, baby.
You have range, Brett.
Absolutely. I'm classically trained. I am multi-trained in many schools.
Indeed.
And they were like, you're going to have a karate fight. I trained for like 3 months, four
no
days
way.
A week with...
Really?
Taekwondo masters Simon Ree and his brother Philip Ree,
mm-hmm.
who would say, Master Ree would say, you call me master. Oh. And he's like, you know why I tell you that? Because this is a very aggressive art form I'm teaching you. Oh. And that balances you so that you don't become a violent a-hole. He didn't say that. He was much more eloquent. It was cool to show up and the stunt guys, mm-hmm. they're so amazing. And they see me walking in. They see any actor, they're probably like, okay, let's see what we're going to have to cover up here and all. And I was very prepared
mm-hmm.
and they're really happy. And then it was just doing this karate fight on stage in this set plane.
Mm-hmm.
But also shooting in Lithuania was completely insane during COVID.
That's like pretty
being
strange.
Being in Lithuania in the dead of winter during the pandemic, very strange.
Makes you question your future on
planet
Earth,
just everything
I
gray. Definitely a recipe for a nervous breakdown.
But we're good.
We're good. We
okay,
got
good.
Through it.
We did.
And, nobody was hurt. So that's a good thing.
Brett Gelman here on The Rich Eisen Show. Again, Stranger Things premieres the fifth and final season later this month, November 26th at 8 Eastern Time. And that's four episodes with four more to go split up between Volume 2 with three episodes on Christmas and then the finale on New Year's Eve. Two scenes I got to ask you about that you've been in.
Yeah.
One that pops up on my algorithm once a week now. And that's the other guy's scene that you do with Natalie Zay, the actress.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's Christineth, I believe. I don't want to mess up her name
Christineth. Wait, Christineth? Is it Christine? No, it's Christineth.
Christineth. I don't want to upset you.
No, it's Chris. No, you don't. I'll you know scream.
So, and Wahlberg and Will Ferrell, you got a backstory here? Did you ad-lib any of this, or what is this? With that scene, yes,
that's
sir.
That's like one giant backstory. You could have made a whole film about those 2 days of filming.
Okay,
it really was just like, and I mean, it was a crazy improv fest. The amount that was left in the... in the ether, I guess. You used to call it the cutting room floor, but in the digital age. But maybe they shot it on film. Could have. Yeah, I mean, it was like two of the funnest days I've ever had in my entire life. It was incredible. I mean, that line, you know, when I scream, it's Christineth, you
yes.
say my, what you know, you get my wife's name right. McKay, I remember, was like, just scream that, like... insanity. I mean, that wasn't in the script.
It wasn't. There was,
no, I don't think. No, I mean, a lot of, you know, the script was very short. And then, I mean, you know, Adam and Will are, you know, my older brothers and who very much set the tone of the whole comedy scene that I came up in
mm-hmm.
in UCB. I mean, Adam was an original member of the Upright Citizens Brigade in Chicago before. Yes. The four joined and brought that to New York and became what they, you know, what it was and what they were. But like, you know, so it was improvisation's encouraged
mm-hmm.
On that set in a tremendous way. And I knew that. I knew that going in. I knew that. I mean, I auditioned, you know, obviously auditioned. And so I knew that in the audition, too. And I don't think that like Mark didn't know who I was before that.
Mm-hmm.
He's looking at the script. He didn't know that I was coming in as a completely insane person.
He did not?
No.
With the Arnold Palmers and all that?
I just started doing all of that. I think some of that maybe I did in the audition, and I saw Adam dug it, you know? Adam's, like, very gracious. You know if Adam likes it. He laughs.
Yes.
And so... And like Will, I knew because I had done this thing for Funny or Die Presents called 1,000 Cats, which was my one-man musical that I've been doing for years at UCB. And HBO hated it. HBO hated it, and Will saved it.
Okay.
Because the head of Funny or Die at the time, Harper Steele,
mm-hmm.
she was like, the only way we can... Get this and have it and not slash it down and cut it up or shorten it because it's like 17 minutes long
mm-hmm.
Of me in a unitard and cat ears singing about cats at the Orpheum Theater. They were like, he was like, Will has to call HBO and tell them to back off. And
yes.
That's what, and that it stays how it is. And that's what Will did. And I had never met Will up until that point. And so we had that, but then Mark was like, what's going on here? And I think Mark thought I was messing with him a lot, you know, and that it was like, who's this guy with like this bit part coming in here, acting like a lunatic. And I think he thought it was like sort of aggressive towards him because we hadn't started talking yet. And then at one point, Adam was like, kiss Mark. Try to kiss Mark. As everybody scurries, you know how everybody scurries and runs out at the end of the scene?
Yes.
He's like, when that happens, try to grab Mark. He's like, grab Mark and try to kiss him. And I'm like, oh, man, I'm going to get my nose broken here. And he like, I tried. And Mark grabs me and lifts me up over his head like I am a paperclip. And this is how strong the man is, was able to make it look like he was throwing me down on the couch. But it was a gently placed, like very Mark gentle placement of me on the couch. Like I was a baby in his arms.
So is there footage of that somewhere that just
there
never
might
made it
be.
In the movie?
There's definitely footage of like in the scene where they're in the car and we come out of the bushes running for them.
Yes.
Adam had me and Natalie crawl alongside the car and pop up to scare them and grab Mark, even though that's not where the scene happens. And I like pop up and put your hands on my wife's breasts and grab him. And then Mark again took my head and pushed it into the dashboard without hurting me. I mean, like true strength. And but after I did that, for some reason, I think like, and he saw that I was like myself in between takes.
Mm.
He I mean, he like, I think he had, he got very nice to me. And okay. Mark treated me, I mean, Mark was amazing to me. So it was like really like five friends, six friends, Chris Henchy, like all of us like hanging out and making each other laugh for 2 days. It was a very amazing environment.
The scene is brilliant. I mean, when you scream at him, it's Christineth, you come in my wife's house, you come in my house, you get my wife's name right. And then I think Wahlberg even basically goes, man, or it's not like he's out loud. So that was funny.
Like to have funny, Adam McKay and Will Ferrell, I improvised, but also a lot of that was Adam and Will giving me lines.
Oh, I'm completely
like,
shaven.
Hey, say this and try this.
The business of like,
I don't remember what the shaven thing was. That could have been an improv or Adam might have given that to me. Mm-hmm. It was like one after the other, after the other, after the, it was amazing. It was just like,
it's so great.
It definitely like, cleansed me. It was great.
I think that movie is so underrated.
It's amazing.
So underrated. And one other one, speaking of ad-libbing before I let you go, you, sir, Brett Gelman, are the famed Pig Parker of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah.
Was that whole scene ad-libbed, other than the fact that you come in and you park a little bit over the line and then off you go with Larry David?
I mean, you had like, it's so Alec Berg was directing it and Jeff Schaefer was like sort of like, running the scene, they mm-hmm. were both running the scenes. And I remember, Jeff, it's Berg, Schaefer, Mandel. That's like three of the greatest comedy writers
indeed
of all time. And so Jeff had like an outline and he would give you like a suggestion of mm-hmm. what to say. But then it's also like, I'm playing off the man, the king.
Yes.
An entity like no other. Yeah, I mean, like truly, another one of my ultimate hero, comedy heroes. And there was like, see that? Is that my truck? That's my truck. It was so gigantic and I couldn't see over the hood. So in the rehearsal, I parked perfectly within the lines and didn't see it. And I'm so nervous. Again, this is like, this is before, I still get nervous, on a new job, you get nervous until you've settled in. And I'm so nervous. I'm like, I'm with like my, there's like, it's a very short list here.
Yes.
Of that this man is on for me, comedy wise. And I'm just like, oh my God. And, I didn't really talk to him. He was like on the phone and like, I was like, hey, and like, I knew Garland and Garland was like, hey, Larry, this is Brett Gelman. One of the funniest guys coming up right now. And like, and Larry Charles is next to him. And I'm like, oh my God, like this is all royalty. And like, and Larry's just on his phone. He goes, hey, which like, of course. Yep. I'm a day player. He doesn't want to engage with me. I could be the most irritating person on the face of the earth. So then I get out of the car and I've hardly spoken to Larry. I think we're about to rehearse the scene and he's walking up to the car and he's gone. And I'm like, okay, here we go. And he's like, no. You see, you parked perfectly within the lines. I'm like, oh my God. And he's like, see the whole concept of the bit is that you park outside of the lines, and that's why I get mad at you. I'm like, no, I know, Mr. David. I know, I'm not stupid. I couldn't see over the hood.
Oh,
I'll get it right. And he's like, okay. And like, the other thing was I showed up and like, my license got suspended in college and like... And I lived in New York and I never dealt with it. And it became like a mental block. So at this time living in LA, I still hadn't gotten my license. And like Schaefer knew that. So I show up and the first thing that Schaefer says to me is like, you have a license, right? And I was like, oh God. So like, is it people thinking like, oh, he doesn't know how to drive anymore. So I'm sitting in the car and I'm like, oh my God, I've ruined this. This is a disaster. My dream come true. I'm gonna kill myself tonight. I was like, no, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to call up CAA. And I'm going to be like, hey, it was a disaster. The scene's probably going to be cut. And Larry was such a jerk to me. He made me so nervous. I was just going to like throw Larry under the bus. And then I was like, no. No, stop it. You got to get together here. Come on. You can't throw this away. You can get this back.
Wow.
And then we went into the first take. And Larry is like, I mean, I'm sure other people have said this, but like, if you're doing well with Larry too, because mm-hmm. he'll break.
Yes.
And so the moment he broke, at ease.
What'd you break him with?
I don't even remember. I don't. It was just like
the line from the scene where I thought you definitely had him is when you said, "How about you stay inside the lines of not being an a-hole or something like that?"
Very possibly that line was given to me. I remember. I remember that's like one of the lines that Jeff told me to say.
But you get into
it's cross coverage and you're getting into.
Oh my gosh!
You get into this wave with him. Of just like living the dream of being on that show and having an argument with the funniest man ever. Dude. And so like, I mean, and he's just so amazing to like, he puts you at ease. He really does. It's weird because I don't think he's not somebody you would expect to do that.
Well, it's changed the way I look at the way people park the rest of my life.
Oh my God.
And Stranger Things just changes the way you watch television. So the fifth and final season of Stranger Things premieres later this month, coming up on November 26th, and keep an eye out for the final episodes on Christmas Day and New Year's Eve. Brett Gelman, what a pleasure to have you back on. Thanks
Thank
for coming
you so
back.
Much. Thank you.
Everybody follow this man at Brett Gelman on Instagram.
And my wife's song comes out tomorrow. It's amazing. It's called Take a Chance, Lionette. Check it out.
Ladies and gentlemen, the whole family.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
On Day Hope on Wheels, I've been talking about it for weeks. If you don't know about it, I'm always proud to talk about it because you know how I care deeply about pediatric cancer research and awareness, and that's what Hyundai Hope on Wheels has been all about for the last 27 years. Every Hyundai sold has helped fund life-saving pediatric cancer research. With over 850 dealers nationwide working together, they've raised more than $277 million. Supporting over 25,000 kids in their fight against cancer. So go to HyundaiUSA.com and search Hyundai Hope on Wheels to learn more. Please do. At Hyundai, hope isn't optional. It comes standard. Chad in Reno, Nevada, going to help wrap us up. What's up, Chad?
Hey, Rich. How you doing, bud?
What's going on in your mind, sir?
Good. I got two things. Number one, I'm going to go hire a register.
Okay.
Because I love the Jacoby Brissett change. I feel like the Cardinals are going to pull the upset this weekend.
Oh, okay. Against Seattle.
All right.
Against Seattle.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Oh, I kind of hear you. You know what I mean? The way that Brissett
right.
is.
That's right.
Right? I mean, you know, maybe they can.
They put some points on the board.
I mean, and they do look smoother, don't you think, on offense?
Yeah. Marvin, I agree. Great.
And even the defense, too. I mean, with Walter Nolan, I think that, and Garrett Williams, I think that adds a little bit of, they weren't there for the last meeting. So.
No, they were not. So they're coming in differently, don't you think?
You got it, man.
No, you do.
And the other thing I was going to mention, I listened to an interview with Albert Breer the other day.
Yes,
man,
sir.
I've been listening to you for years, Rich, and I did not know that the reason that he doesn't like Michigan is he wasn't accepted. Michigan did not accept him. Ohio State did, but Michigan did not accept him. That blew my mind.
I didn't know that.
So now I get it. I'm like, oh, no wonder you don't like Michigan. You weren't able to get in.
Oh, yeah.
That just blew my mind.
Chad, I don't know if you're right or not, but I'm going to, at this point in time, I'm just going to choose to believe you. Thank you for the call, Chad. Appreciate it. I'll just choose to believe you.
It all makes a lot of sense.
Makes a lot of sense. I mean. Oh, man, that's a few weeks away. Every time I think about it, I get a little hitch in my giddy up.
Yeah.
What's up, Trevor?
Apparently, he had another moment in that press conference. We got to search one out, too.
B.O.B. had a day. You know, sometimes you just have a day. It's not your day. And you move on.
You had a bad day.
That's right. Exactly.
I shouldn't sing that. That might cost me some money.
Yeah.
We're not down. The sun is up.
You know what? We're not down and the sun is up. Woody Harrelson's on tomorrow's program.
Yeah, exactly.
And Tommy P. Tom Pelissero.
Love it. What a day.
It's always great. Can't wait to waste the first 10 seconds of that interview on your guys
it's
saying
it. It's a highlight, exactly. Rich. You know that.
Nah, it's called a waste.
Up front.
We're back to wrap it in a sec.
Thanks for listening to the Rich Eisen Show podcast. You can watch and listen to the Rich Eisen Show live weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, Disney Plus, and on the ESPN app. The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.